We're going to be a little shorter today in class because tomorrow I am heading to India. We may have a class tomorrow from the airport. That would be exciting, wouldn't it? Okay, we will see.
Say, I'm not going.
jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada. Okay. Jai Om Vishnu Pad. Paramahansa Paramahacharya Osirtera Satashi Shiva is Divine Grace. Labaya Chalanada Bhaktivananda Kosavik. Srila Prabhupada Gijai Iskan Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Gijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Gijai Namacharya Srila Huilas Thakur Gijai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Parabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Gijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopika Vinath Sayamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Gijaya Vrindavanam Gijaya Maturnam Gijaya Jagannatha Swami Gijaya Yamunamaya Gijaya Srimad Dalasi Devi Gijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gijai Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarne. Okay. So, we're going to read the translation. O Venerable Vaishnava, Ocean of Mercy, be merciful unto your servant. Give me the shade of your lotus feet and purify me. I hold on to your lotus feet. Teach me to control my six passions, rectify my six faults. Bestow upon me the six qualities and offer unto me the six kinds of holy association. I do not find the strength to carry on alone the Sankirtan of the holy name of Hari. Please bless me by giving me just one drop of faith with which to obtain the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him to me. I am simply running behind you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna! So, let's continue with our study of the Ramananda Samvada. The conversation that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with Ramananda Roy in the banks of the Godavari and Rajamundri. So, this may be our last class for a while because we're going to India tomorrow, or we may have a class tomorrow evening from the airport, the New York airport, before we take off for India. In any case, let's go and start reading. So, Om Gana Timidandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigarve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. You darkness. I mean, who wants to be in the darkness of ignorance? That would be a disaster. So, anyway, so let's share the screen. And, screen share. Oh, there we go. It's taking a while. Let me close some windows here. Oh, okay. Let me close some other windows just to speed up the computer a little bit. Let's see, close that window, close that window. Okay, that should be enough. Okay, here we go. Still pretty slow. There we go. Whoops. Okay, we're sharing. And, okay. They size some of the windows here. Okay. The next topic is by Srimati Radharani's side. It is understood from the authoritative literatures which describe the transcendental pastimes of Godhead that in the arena of the Rasa Leela dance, Sri Krishna distributed himself in his innumerable prakash expansions by keeping himself between each of the coward girls. He also kept himself by the side of Srimati Radharani. The prakash expansions of his transcendental body are all identical, but the personality by the side of Srimati Radharani is his original form. Okay, let's go to the next page. Swayamrupa. Swayamrupa means his own form, original form. Sri Krishna is equal to everyone in his general dealings, but due to the conflicting, ecstatic love of Srimati Radharani, there are opposing elements. This is described in the Ujjalad Nilamani as follows. Ahari bhagati premna svabhava kutilabhavet atohe tora hetoscha yunormana Udanshati. The curved ways of progressive love affairs appear like movements of snake. Further, two different kinds of anger, anger with a cause and anger without a cause, arise within the dealings of a young man and a young woman. So remember, we're hearing about Krishna, not simply some young man and some young woman. And we're hearing about Radharani. So this is a completely spiritual platform. It's completely dealings of love. In the material world, when you have anger, it's really anger. Did you actually begin to hate the other person? Yep. Yeah, why do I have to be with that other person? And also, when you're not experiencing anger, you're just thinking of using the other person for your sense gratification. But that's not what's going on here. This anger that Radharani is exhibiting is meant to please Krishna. In pursuance of the above principles, let me just close more windows here. Oh, I shouldn't close that window. Okay, that will probably help a lot. Yeah. In pursuance of the above principles, Srimati Radharani, in a mood of erotic anger, left the arena of the Rasa Leela with a feeling of devout attachment. Thus, Srihari also became mad after her and perturbed in his mind out of anger without a cause. Sri Krishna's desire was to enjoy the transcendental pastime of the Rasa Leela in its fullness, and the cornerstone of the whole construction was Srimati Radharani. Without her presence, the Rasa Leela is upset. In other words, Krishna's not interested in the Rasa Leela without Radharani. Therefore, the absence of Srimati Radharani caused Krishna to leave the arena and go in search for her. When Sri Krishna was unable to find Srimati Radharani after searching here and there, he became overwhelmingly afflicted by Cupid's arrow and began to deeply lament on account of her absence. This fact proves that the transcendental heart of Sri Krishna is not satiated even by his enjoyment in the midst of so many millions of other coward girls. As such, the intensity of his love for Srimati Radharani is impossible to describe. All the above statements regarding the transcendental leela of Sri Radha Krishna profusely delighted Lord Chaitanya, and he became completely satisfied by his meeting with Ramananda Roy. And then Lord Chaitanya speaks, Prabhu kahe ye lagi ailama tumastane se sabha tattva vastu ailamora gyane ebi se jani lun sadja sarana niranaya agyara chikichu shunite manahaya Krishna sarupa kaya radhara sarupa rasa kum tatva prema kum tatva rupa kripa kare tatva Kahita hamare toma binai kaya iha nirupite nare. Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda, I have now come to know the truth of the Leela of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani, for which I approach you. I have understood the truth of the highest goal to be attained and also the means to attain it. Therefore, please explain the divine nature of Sri Krishna and that of Srimati Radharani. Please also let me know the truth of the mellowness of supra-mundane love. That means supra-mundane means something that goes above the mundane, the transcendental, above affairs. Nobody can explain all these except your good self. Therefore, I request you to do me this favor by your unbounded mercy. The method of approach and the manner of humility exhibited by Lord Chaitanya to Ramananda Roy is the ideal for approaching a bona fide tattvadarshi or master of transcendental knowledge. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, and hopefully everybody knows this particular verse. Tatvini pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya. Upadikshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshana. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that one approach the spiritual master for supra-mundane knowledge under the protection of service and surrender, accompanied by relevant inquiries. Lord Chaitanya, as the ideal teacher and practical demonstrator of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, teaches us by his approach to Ramananda Roy. He shows that a person desirous of knowing the transcendental science must not be proud of his material acquisitions of wealth and education, which are very insignificant to the transcendentally situated spiritual master, from whom we should be very keen to understand the science of devotion. If someone approaches the bona fide spiritual master with the vanity of mundane pride in respect to his heredity, that is his wealth, education, or personal beauty, without the necessary qualifications of surrender, service, and relevant inquiry, surely such a person will be honored outwardly by the spiritual master. But the spiritual master will decline to bestow transcendental knowledge upon the student who by his attitude of mundane vanity is rendered unqualified. Prabhupada said one has to be a fool before the spiritual master. It's not that one has to act foolish before the spiritual master, but one has to consider himself or herself to be a fool. Such a proud student is actually a Shudra, and he has no access to spiritual knowledge for want of the necessary qualifications mentioned above. Thus, the Shudra student, instead of availing himself to the mercy of the spiritual master, goes to hell as a result of his mundane vanity. Woo-hoo! Don't be vain. Ramananda Roy was born in the family of a Shudra and was also grihastha in terms of the system of Varnashram Dharma. Lord Chaitanya appeared in the family of a highly cultured Brahmin of Navadvipa and was in the topmost rank of the sannyas ashram. Therefore, in terms of the Varnashram system, Ramananda Roy is in the lotus status while Lord Chaitanya was in the highest status. Yet because Ramananda was a master in the art of transcendental knowledge, Lord Chaitanya approached him as one should approach a guru. He did so for the benefit of us all. So there's an example for us. Lord Chaitanya descended into this mortal world as the ideal spiritual master, and thus his teaching is very significant. The students who really desire spiritual upliftment may carefully note all these dealings. Ramananda Roy, as a true Vaishnava, always possessed natural humility, and thus, when he was asked by Lord Chaitanya, he said, Rai kahi, that means Ramananda Roy said, Ihami kichwi na jani, tumiye karao ise kahiyami vani, tumare shikshaya padiyena shukapata, sakshadishwara tumi, ke bunje tomara nata, riye pre ranakara, jivaya kao vani. My Lord, I have no information of the transcendental world, but I can simply speak that which you inspire me to utter. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is the original guru. Of course, Lord Nityananda in one sense, but even Lord Nityananda is an expansion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so whatever we speak is spiritual, is actually coming from Lord Chaitanya. And Ramananda Roy is realizing that. I'm just like a parrot and can repeat only that which you direct me to say. You are yourself, the personality of Godhead, and it is very difficult to understand what you do and how you play. The inspiration that you create in me and the vocabulary that you cause to come out of my mouth are known to you. I do not know myself what I speak and what I think. Lord Chaitanya, again in his mood of a true student of truth, replied to Ramananda Roy. It's very beautiful Bengali here. Prabhu kahe maya vadiyami ta sanyasi bhakti tattva nahi jani maya vadi vasi sarvabhoma sangi mora mana nirmala khila krishna bhakti tattva ka tanhara puchila teno kahe ami nahi jani krishna katha save ramananda jane teno nahi eta tomaratani Ailana tumara mahima shuniya tumi more stuti kara sanyasi janiya kiva vipra kiva dasi shutakena noi ye krishna tatva veta se guru hoi sanyasi balia more na kaliha vanchana krishna radha tatva kai purna kara mana. So of course that's a very famous line, the fourth from the end of this particular stanza, and the fifth is Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasha Shudra Kene Naya Krishna Tama Veta Seguru Hoy. Doesn't matter whether it's learned or a sannyasi or a shudra, if one knows the science of Krishna consciousness, one can be accepted as a guru. Because knowing the science of Krishna consciousness means to know Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Sambandha, the tattvas, Abhideya, how to act, to cultivate Krishna consciousness, and to advance in Krishna consciousness, and then Prayojana, what is the goal? I am, in Mayavadi, this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said out of his humility, I am a Mayavadi sannyasi who is an atheist by nature. As such, I always float on my theory of Maya and Brahman without any entrance into devotional science. By the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I was lucky enough to get my heart purified. When I asked him to speak about the transcendental topics of the Leela of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani, he asked me to see you. He recommended you as the best among those who know the science, and he regretted your absence at Puri. I have therefore come to you after hearing your glories from him. You are now praising me because I am a sannyasi. But it does not matter whether a person is a Brahmin, sannyasi, or a shudra. And also one's gender. A person is thoroughly competent to become a bona fide spiritual master, provided he knows the transcendental art and science of devotional service. Of devotional activity, sorry. What's happening here? Hold on a second. Okay. Therefore, please do not try to avoid me because I'm a sannyasi. Kindly fulfill my desire by fully describing the glories of the Leela performed by Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So, now, beyond Varna and Ashrama. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, especially in this perverted age of Kali, the passage mentioned above wherein it says that it does not matter whether a person is a Brahmin, sannyasi, or shudra is important. The qualification for a spiritual master is that he must be thoroughly conversant in the art and science of devotional service. This is revolutionary to the stereotype so-called spiritual mastership prevailing among the masses in India. The exploitative method is herein dealt a deadly blow, and this truth is established by the devout followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conception. In other words, what Prabhupada is addressing here is that generally in India, amongst like ritualistic people, one is, can only be accepted as a spiritual master if he comes from the Brahmin caste, and also, it's even better if he's a sannyasi. Although so many rascals are there in the Brahmin caste, and so many rascals are there as sannyasis. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is if someone knows the science of Krishna, then he can actually be accepted as guru. That's the point. He or she can be a Shudra, can be a Malecha, a Yavana by birth. Of course, they shouldn't continue their Shudra or Malecha or Yavana activities. But the birth is insignificant insofar as a Vaishnava is concerned. And here's what Prabhupada says. The fact is that a person who is thoroughly conversant about Sri Krishna can become a spiritual master either as an initiator or an instructor. It doesn't matter whether such a person is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, nor does it matter whether he's a Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. The only qualification of a spiritual master is his knowledge of the truth about Sri Krishna. The qualification certainly does not rest on his particular situation in terms of the system of Varnashram Dharma. In other words, it doesn't matter if he's a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. The order of Lord Chaitanya, although apparently revolutionary to the non-progressive opportunists. Well, what an expression. Non-progressive opportunists. Opportunists means people take advantage of situations for their own benefit rather than for the benefit of others. It is not at all against the injunction of the scriptures. Following this principle, Lord Chaitanya himself took initiation from Shripadi Swarupuri and Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, hold on a second. Yeah, it's on the top of the next page. Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu took initiation from Shripad Madhavendra Puri Goswami. Now, it may have been that Lord Nityananda took initiation from Lakshmipati Tirtha. So there's two different versions of the biography. The version that I quoted yesterday says he took initiation from Lakshmipati, who is the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri. Rasikananda Prabhu took initiation from Srila Shyamananda Prabhu, who appeared in the family of a non-Brahmin, and Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Sri Ramakrishna Bhattacharya took initiation from Srila Narottamadas Thakur, who also happened to appear in the family of a non-Brahmin, actually the Shudra family. In the ancient literatures, it is written that there are no hereditary considerations for becoming a spiritual master. In the Mahabharata and other historical literatures, there are innumerable examples of non-hereditary gurus and determination of caste by quality and action rather than by birth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35, it is said that a person should be classified as belonging to a particular varna or caste in terms of his qualification, not in terms of his birth. Yashaya lakshanam proktam pumso varna abhiyananjakam yadanyatrapi drisheta tatinaiva veniradishet. According to Bhagavad Gita, a really qualified Brahmin possesses 9 qualities, a Kshatriya 7 qualities, a Vaishya 3 qualities, and a Shudra only 1 quality. What's the quality of the Shudra? He's obedient to the master. Brahman is Samadha Bhakta Pukkasho Cham Shanti Raja Vameva Cha Ganavidyanamasti Kyam Brahma Karma Subhava Jaman. Read it in the Bhagavad Gita if you're interested. So, wherever the particular qualities are founded or developed, the person possessing these particular qualities should be regarded as such. If someone has the quality of Brahmins, they should be accepted as a Brahmin. If someone has the qualities of Shudra, they should be accepted as Shudra, regardless of the birth. Accepting this formula from the scriptures, the Vaishnava accepts a spiritual master upon his becoming conversant in the knowledge of Sri Krishna. The qualities of a Brahmin appear naturally, and as such, a thoroughly conversant spiritual master cannot be anything but a qualified Brahmin. Because what does the word Brahmin mean? It means one who knows Brahman, or spirit. In other words, one who can distinguish between spirit and matter, and also one who knows what to do to become spiritual. So that's Sambandha Anabideya. And also one knows what's happening in the spiritual plane. That's prayojana. So the qualified spiritual master must have all three types of knowledge, sabandha, avideya, and prayojana. The false notion that without being a caste Brahmin, a person cannot become a spiritual master is therefore a misconception. A person born in a family of a Shudra can become a spiritual master if he has acquired the necessary knowledge about Sri Krishna. And I explain what the knowledge was. Sampanda, Abhideya, Prayojana, and he must practice. Not only rote learning, but practical realization. Sometimes it is seen that a pure Vaishnava does not undergo the formalities of the system of Varnashram Dharma by accepting the regulated principles, therefore. But that does not mean he is not a Brahmin or a bona fide spiritual master. Now, here we're not talking about the four regulated principles. We're talking about all the rituals that a Brahmin does. So a bona fide spiritual master may not know all the rituals. Like Prabhupada, he was asked sometimes about different rituals, and Prabhupada said, you know, go to the Radharaman temple and learn it from them. The Vaishnavas determine the varna and ashram of a person simply by their symptoms and not by their birth. Foolish people are unable to recognize such qualified Vaishnavas, and as such, Lord Chaitanya distinctly emphasizes all the above-mentioned points. There's no difference in essence between the regulated principles found in the Hari Bhakti Vilas and the statements of Lord Chaitanya. The difference is concocted by the mental speculations of ignorant men. So what Prabhupada here is referring to, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's time, place, and manner injunctions that are not always applicable, are only applicable in certain time, places, situations. So the point that Lord Chaitanya is making may seem to conflict with some of the statements in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, but actually they don't, because the Hari Bhakti Vilas deals with certain situations. Just like Prabhupada wrote letters to devotees dealing with those devotees' particular situations. Right? So that does not mean that what Prabhupada told so-and-so devotee is applicable necessarily to me. Unless Prabhupada makes a general statement, like everyone should chant Hare Krishna. So who is an acharya? There's the word acharya. Acharya means someone who speaks nicely and acts nicely. Some foolish students have accepted the statements of Lord Chaitanya conditionally. In other words, yeah, they're applicable sometimes. But the Hari Bhakti Vilas is applicable sometimes, certain injunctions. According to them, the spiritual master, fully conversant with the science of Krishna, yet not born in the Brahmin family, can be instructing spiritual master, but not an initiating spiritual master. They do not know that there is hardly any difference between the two classes of spiritual masters. According to them, a caste initiator, or caste Goswami, by dint of his hereditary blood lineage, family tree, becomes the real spiritual master, while a person knowing all about Krishna can only become an instructor. So this is really interesting. Let me explain why I'm saying it's really interesting. Because they're saying that someone who is not born in a Brahmin family, not Lord Chaitanya is not saying that, but Prabhupada is talking about those who are caste conscious. He's saying those who are caste conscious are thinking initiation can only be done by those who are caste brahmanas, you know, born in the Brahmin family. Others, if they know the signs of Krishna, they can give some instructions. But Prabhupada here says there's no difference. You know, if someone can give instructions, that's, of course, abhideya, initiation is sambandha. Then that's the same. They foolishly think that the position of the initiating spiritual master is greater than that of the instructing spiritual master. However, the matter is very clearly and conclusively discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, hold on a second, 147. Really an important point. And the reason I'm saying it's so important is that right now in ISKCON, everybody knows what ISKCON is, we're having a discussion. Oh my God, I hate that word, discussion. That means there's an argument. So we're having a discussion about whether ladies, or Vaishnavis, not ladies, Vaishnavis can become spiritual masters. Okay, so that discussion is going on. And, of course, I'm in favor of that because, as Lord Chaitanya says, if one knows the science of Krishna, you become a spiritual master. Whereas the other party, who shall remain nameless to protect their guilt, the other party is saying ladies can become a instructing guru, that's called siksha guru, but they can't become a diksha or initiating guru. But here Prabhupada clearly says they're both on the same level. If you can become one, you can become the other. That's it. Both on the same level. Prabhupada said one should not make distinction between them. Just like the ritualistic brahmanas, they do make a distinction, and Prabhupada criticizes them in this particular purport or in this particular book. Very, very important. That's why I thought it was very, very interesting. In the Manusangita, the qualification of an acharya is described as follows. A spiritual master is a twice-born Brahmin able to train his disciple to instruct others on the Vedas. In the Vayu Purana, the acharya is described as follows. One who knows the essence of the scriptures establishes the truth of them and conducts his activities according to the regulative principles of the scriptures is thus known as an acharya. Okay, so this word twice-born means that one is initiated, that's all. Because your first birth, janmana jayate shudra, your first birth is a shudra birth or animal birth. Now you may say, oh, that cute little baby. That cute little baby is acting like an animal. You know, the activities are the same. Prabhu, what do you want? And they squeak, it's just like squealing. Anyway, I won't get into it because I don't want to offend anybody. So anyway, so that cute little baby, whatever. But when they're initiated with knowledge, not only initiated with some sort of ceremony, just like in India they have this ceremony, Upanayana, that they sometimes do for children when they're like 5 or 6 years of age, or 7. And that's not what we're talking about. The initiation, diksha, divya jnana, that frees one. That's what diksha means. You know, it's a ceremony. You get your spiritual name, you get your mantra, yes. But the main thing about initiation is divya jnana, shayate, divya jnana, which frees you from this material entanglement. Divya jnana means transcendental knowledge, which you follow, hopefully, you rascal, and that will free you. So that's what initiation is, not simply getting some theoretical knowledge. The acharya spirit, or a name, your Hare Krishna name, you become a club member now. The acharya or spiritual master is an empowered incarnation of the personality of Godhead. He is not to be considered a plenary portion of Godhead, but at the same time, in other words, he's not Vishnu Tattva, he's not God. But at the same time, the spiritual master is certainly very near and dear to Godhead. The acharya appears before the disciple as the bona fide representative of Godhead. Such an acharya has no duty other than to serve the personality of Godhead and give shelter to the willing disciple on Godhead's behalf. Willing disciple. The disciple has free will. The disciple, the spiritual master, can say, please do this. And the disciple says, why, Guru Maharaj? No, Guru Maharaj. Can't do, Guru Maharaj. That's not willing. Willing, able. You can do. The words of the spiritual master contain within the success potency of the Supreme Personality of God. And if you think you can't do, you are wascal. I know I pronounced that deliberately wrong. Like Prabhupada told the devotees, and I was there, that if you want to please him, this was in Los Angeles, then we needed to produce 17 books in 2 months. And the devotee said, impossible, to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. That was Prabhupada's direct quote. If a person becomes a so-called spiritual master without being engaged wholly in the service of the personality of Godhead, nobody should accept him as guru, and his activities should not be recognized. A guru's character must be fully representative of the personality of Godhead, and this will be demonstrated by his full-time engagement in the service of Godhead. A real acharya is sometimes envied by the sense-gratifying masses. Phew. However, the acharya is a non-different extension of the transcendental body, the personality of Godhead. Anyone envying such a spiritual master will certainly suffer the consequence of being bereft of the personality of Godhead's blessings. Wow, that is heavy. Heavy, heavy. Prabhupada is heavy. The spiritual master, although the eternal servitor of Lord Chaitanya, is always to be respected as much as Lord Chaitanya. In other words, even though he's a servant, he's the representative. Spiritual master is the personality who exhibits the nature of Lord Chaitanya. It should never be concluded that the spiritual master is exactly one and the same with Godhead, as the Mahayavadi philosophers think. The Vaishnavas accept the spiritual master in terms of a Chinja Veda Veda Tattva, simultaneously one with and different from the personality of Godhead. You know, one particular point in our movement, the devotees actually were saying that Prabhupada is God. He's Krishna. And Prabhupada got so upset with that. Actually, he left America at that point, and he came back sometime later. But he left America. He's just, this is crazy. The devotees don't understand the philosophy. And this was being propagated at New Vrindavan. Whew. Amazing. Amazing how crazy people got at that particular juncture. I wasn't there at that point. So, next topic, Shiksha and Diksha. Shiksha means instructions, Diksha means initiation. A spiritual master gives instruction about the regulated principles of devotional services called the Shiksha Guru, or the instructing spiritual master. A person who is not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and is addicted to ill habits cannot be a spiritual master. The instructing spiritual master of two kinds. They are one, a self-realized soul constantly engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, and two, a soul of pure consciousness who is constantly offering helpful directions favorable to the service of Godhead. Instruction in the service of the Lord is of two kinds. One, instruction of the object of service, and two, instruction of the regulated principles of service. What does that mean? Let's say you're given some duty to do deity worship. So the spiritual master, or his representative, the spiritual master, may tell you how to do the deity worship. Huh? Or tell you how to read or something like that. You know, practical stuff. Instruction on the regulated principles, that means instructions on the sadhana process of devotional service, not necessarily the four regulated principles, although they are to be followed as is understood. The spiritual master who connects the living entity with the personality of Godhead by initiation is called the Diksha Guru, or initiating spiritual master. There's no difference between the initiating spiritual master and the instructing spiritual master. Both are the object of shelter for the disciple, and both are ashraya vigraha, or the personality under whose shelter the eternal relationship with Godhead is established, and the process of approaching Godhead by service is learned. So ashraya means shelter, okay? Vigraha means form. Ashraya vigraha, the form of shelter. To think of one spiritual master as, let's go to the top of the page, purer than the other is offensive. The symbolic initiating spiritual master is Srila Sanatana Goswami, who initiates the devotee into the service, their service to Madan Mohan. So that's also called a sambandha gyan, or knowledge of the tattvas. And the reason you have Madan Mohan, that is mentioned here, Madan Mohan means the attractor of Cupid. So we are all attached to Cupid in this world, just like I believe in less than 2 weeks, there's Valentine's Day. Yuck. So, someone said the camera's blurry. Anyway, sometimes we've got to reset it. That's right. Better just to hear rather than to see me. All right, wait a second. All right, anyway, I'll fix it a little later. So that's Sambandhagyan. Srila Rupa Goswami is the instructing spiritual master, and that's Abhideya, who instructs the disciple with his verses in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu regarding the service of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. So nobody should think of Sanatana Goswami as being greater than Rupa Goswami or vice versa. Very important. Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, just as important. And the qualification of both is exactamente the same. Both of them are our spiritual masters engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya mentioned the word guru, spiritual master, he meant both the Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, and not just one of them. And of course, the Siksha Guru who guides us, the symbolic Siksha Guru who guides us in Prayojana, the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness, is Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he instructs us under the guidance of Gopinath, the deity of Gopinath. And the deity of Gopinath was installed by Madhu Pandit. And Rupa Goswami guides us under the jurisdiction of Radha Govinda. And he was the one who actually instituted the worship of Radha Govinda. So we will stop here. Very interesting topic, and it's useful in my discussions with the anti-VGD people. Okay, so let's stop sharing here. And there I am, blurry as anything. Let me just turn off the camera and turn it back on again. I should be able to get rid of the blurry now. Whoops. There we go. Crystal clear. So, let me just hold on a second. Let me get your questions ready, because I'm going to allow you to unmute yourself. Not yet. Whoops. There we go. Oh. I just had too many things opened. It'd take a second to unmute. There we go. Okay, so who wants to ask a question? You can raise your little hand, or you can type in the chat window, or you can boldly unmute yourself. So who has a question? This is your opportunity to ask a question. And while we're waiting for a question, I just want to mention that tomorrow, I'm not sure whether we're going to have a class, as I will be traveling, but I may do it from the airport on the way to India. And then when we get to India, it will be early in the morning where the class is. Anyway, so we'll have to see. Maybe we'll give it early in the morning. We'll see, because right now it's early in the morning. 3:30 or 4 o'clock or something. Okay, we'll see how determined I am. So, who has a question? Now's your opportunity.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, Gurudev, when we are when you're reading that, it said that only Brahmana can give initiation. What is the basis for that? Like, why they are saying that only Brahmana can give initiation?
Well, we say the one has to be qualified as a Brahmin. They say that only one who is born as a Brahmin can give initiation. So so the injunction is only a Brahmin could be give initiation, and they are sorry about that. You know this. I had too many programs opened up. Let's see. Oh, let me just get this. Should work better now. Okay, so sorry for the. From now on, I should know to clear the deck with the programs before. So who else has a question? Anybody else have a question? Oh, here. Let me hold on a second and fill up the chat window again because I went off in a second. Okay. All right. Dandavat Pranam. When and how does a disciple know that he should approach a spiritual master or his or her initiation? When they're fixed in their vows, their Christian conscious vows, the 16 rounds and four regulative principles, then they're qualified to ask when they're fixed after the purascharya, preliminary period, whether they can continue. And then they have to find out who is a bona fide spiritual master? What are the qualities of bona fide spiritual master? They must have the knowledge. They must practice that knowledge. There's sambandha avideyam prayojana. And also, they must be a servant of their spiritual master. Samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. They must have heard nicely from their spiritual master, be able to repeat the words nicely, and never fall down into the material crevice. So these are the different qualities. That's interesting. So, good question. So, if no one else has a question, we can end a little early because I got to get ready to leave tomorrow. And as I said, hopefully I'll be able to give the class from the airport. If the planes all take off in time, I'll be able to give the class from the airport and we could share more of this ecstatic book, the Ramananda Samvada.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
So, seems like a lot of people will, well, not a lot, but, you know, you'll hear people refer to someone that's not really fully qualified to be a spiritual master, but they'll say, oh, they're my Siksha Guru, just because they helped them along. So, is there like another?
There are different type of Siksha Guru, not eternal Siksha Guru. Siksha Guru means instruction. So, I mean, obviously, we could say even the person who teaches us martial arts is a type of Siksha Guru. But a fully qualified Siksha Guru is on the same level as the Diksha Guru. Yes, sometimes, you know, people can give relevant instruction. A type of Siksha Guru is the Bhartma Pradarshika Guru, the person who just shows you the path. Like Dhruva Maharaj's mother. Dhruva Maharaj asked his mother, where is Lord Vishnu? I want to see Lord Vishnu. And guess what? His mother said, I heard that Lord Vishnu is in the forest. So she was a type of Diksha Guru. Okay. But not eternal, liberated, and all that other nice stuff. Okay, I think we should end now because I have a lot to do. Thank you very much. And hopefully we'll see everybody tomorrow evening. And whether we see you or not, I'm going to send a text message to say to let you know if you're on the WhatsApp group, whether we're going to be online or not. Okay. All glorious to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your wishes for the trip to India. Have a safe trip. Hari Bol. Gauranga. Hold on a second.